This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. أما بعد يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. Honorable ulama, respected elders and brothers and mothers. He is the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only man to marry two daughters of a prophet. He is known as Dhun-Nurayn. He is the fourth man and the fourth person to embrace Islam. He is the third Khalifa of the Muslimin. He is from the Asharatul Mubashshara, the 10 companions who are given glad tidings of Jannah in this world. He is from those people who migrated to Abyssinia as well as Madinatul Munawwara, Sahibul Hijratain. He is from Sahibul Qiblatain, who performed Salah facing towards Masjid al-Aqsa as well as towards Baytullah, Makkah al-Mukarramah. He is from the occupants of Jannah. He is a martyr. He is the most modest from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we are referring to none other than Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anna. Brothers, let's start off with his early life. He was a noble man. He belonged to a very noble family. His family was in charge of keeping the national flag. During his pre-Islamic era, before even accepting Islam, he led a very noble life. He did not consume alcohol. لم يشرب الخمر لم يسرق ولم يزني. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu did not indulge in any form of evil or any form of sin even before becoming a Muslim. He did not consume riba. He did not prostrate and bow down to an idol. He did not consume liquor or alcohol. He used to say, liquor destroys the reasoning of a man. And Allah has given man a very unique ability, and that is the gift of intellect. He should use this to elevate himself. And through consuming alcohol, one would destroy this beautiful gift Allah has given him. The Quraysh had so much of love for him that the women of Quraysh would lull their children and put them to bed by saying, أُحِبُّكَ وَالرَّحْمَنِ حُبَّ قُرَيْشٍ عُثْمَانِ. Oh my son, oh my darling, I love you so much. Just as how the Quraysh loved Uthman ibn Affan. He was looked upon for his wealth. He was looked upon for his character, his akhlaq. He was a noble man. And so when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu presented to him the message of Islam, he accepted. Because it made sense to him. That this is a beautiful religion. Remember, he did not prostrate to the idol. He did not drink alcohol. He did not consume riba. Nor did he womanize or get involved in any form of indecent activity. And so the message of Islam made a lot of sense to him. And he accepted Islam. On the one side, we have the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who later become the wives of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. The Prophet of Allah had four daughters. Zainab, Ruqayya, Kulthum, Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in. Two of his daughters, Ruqayya and Kulthum radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, they were married to the cousins. They were married to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sons of Abu Lahab, Utba and Utaybah. And brothers, just listen to this very carefully. When revelation came down to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the surah Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab was revealed, in which Allah curses Abu Lahab, who is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to his sons, Abu Lahab and his wife went to the sons and said, we want you to divorce the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, there's no relations between you and I. And so both sons divorced the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The marriage took place, but it was not consummated. Before it was consummated, the divorce took place. Abu Lahab and his wife thought that by divorcing the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would weaken the cause of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make him weak. But Allah had other plans. Allah had other plans. Allah prepared them for a much nobler man, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. Brothers, I want to spend a few moments here speaking about the divorces in our community. Very often we attach stigma to women who are divorced and we look down upon them. And I often say to people, do we forget that two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were divorced? Two. And we often put the blame on the women folk. Yeah, I'm telling you, something was wrong with her. Can't be wrong with her husband. Surely something was wrong with her. We look down upon women who are divorced. We attach stigma to them. We should think of the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his household. Allahu Akbar. Two of his daughters, ask any father sitting here what it means to have his daughter divorced. It shatters your heart as a father. It breaks you. If your son is going through divorce, it's difficult, but you can still handle it. But when your daughter comes back home, packing her bags, it's never easy for any father in the world. And two flowers, Ruqayya and Kulthum, who had direct nurturing by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ya Allah, seeing the two daughters coming back home, how was it for the Prophet? The Ummah needs to show respect to the divorced women also. The Ummah needs to keep them within the society. The Ummah needs to help each other, get everybody involved in the community, even the divorced women. We cannot look down upon them. They are part of us. They are part of our community. And so they should fit in within our circles also. Another important thing I need to raise here. Sometimes the son is getting married for the first time. And perhaps the person who he chooses happens to be a divorced woman. Say, no, 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 no. My son, no. Don't get married there, man. She's divorced. Go find somebody else. How can we turn down proposals like these? If the son is happy, if the girl is happy, who are we to stop the proposal then? There is no stigma to a divorced woman. Yes, sometimes they are also at fault. But even if they are at fault, they are human beings. We all change. We all learn from our mistakes. And if there's compatibility, and if there's khair and barakah, then allow for the union to blossom and prosper. That is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, I say to the ladies and the women folk, when a divorce takes place in your home and you tried whatever you had to do and things did not work out, do not lose hope. For Allah replaced Utba and Utaybah with a man like Uthman ibn Affan Where will you find a son-in-law like that? Where will you find a husband like Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an? So I say to the sisters, do not lose heart. Do not lose hope. Have faith in the mercy of Allah. We say to the parents, it's not the end of the world. Help your daughter get back on her feet. Allahu Akbar. It's not the end of the world. It's a process and a phase of life. Yes, indeed, it's challenging. But that phase will also come to pass. And Allah is great. Allah has wisdom in whatever happens in life. Allah knows what's happening in your life also. And so, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan marries the second daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And brothers, Sahaba paid a price for the iman. Allah. When Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan accepted Islam, his uncle Hakam ibn Abi al-As tied him up. And he said, do you forsake the religion of your forefathers for a new religion? I take an oath, I will not let you free until you do not forsake the religion of Islam. Uthman ibn Affan said, do whatever you want, O my uncle. I will not leave Islam. Sahaba paid a price for their religion. They paid a price for the iman. And a point of reflection, Sayyidina Uthman did not accept Islam out of circumstances. Maybe he was battling or struggling, so let me accept Islam and things will become better. He accepted Islam knowing well what was happening in Mecca. He accepted Islam as a rich man. But he also underwent difficulty. They paid a price for the iman. Allahu Akbar. And that is why Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Allah says, we've tested these people. We've tested them literally with regards to their families, with regards to their belongings, with regards to their lives. And they gave preference to Allah over everything. Suhaib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is migrating from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, and the mushrikeen stop him. They said, you can't leave there and you can't get away so easily. He said to them, let's work out a deal. I'll tell you where my belongings are. I will give you everything I own. Just let me go to Medina. They said, agreed. He told them, go to a certain place in Mecca. That's where all my money and my belongings are. He leaves everything for the sake of Allah. He comes to Quba, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the wahi and revelation. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Allah sends down Quran. There are those in the Sahaba who have sold themselves to earn the pleasure of Allah. And when he arrives in Quba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Suhaib, Allah has revealed the verse regarding you. Allah has accepted your deal. What a profitable deal. What am I trying to emphasize here? They paid a price for their iman. They left their native lands for the sake of Allah. So both husband and wife, they migrate towards Habasha and Ethiopia. Because things became difficult in Makkatul Mukarramah. The Quraysh were literally torturing the Muslims. Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his father Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu lost his life. His beloved mother Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha becomes the first female to be martyred in Islam. Things were difficult in Mecca. You could not practice Islam openly. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suggested to the Sahaba, why don't you migrate to Africa and go to Habasha, where there's a non-Muslim king who treats his subjects with justice. A point of reflection, brothers. Muslims are taking shelter where? In a non-Muslim country. Under a non-Muslim ruler. Allahu Akbar. For the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah worked with whoever supported the mission. Muslims and non-Muslims alike. What does the Quran tell us? Living in a community like this, where we are living side by side with non-Muslims, what does the Quran say? لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah says, so long as the non-Muslims do not interfere in your religion, so long as they allow you to practice Islam, it is your duty, أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ, that you be kind towards them. Allahu Akbar. Look at the glowing teachings of Islam. You be kind towards your Muslim brother as well as your non-Muslim brother. Show him the beauty of Islam. So here's a group of Sahaba migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah and going to a Christian country and seeking protection under a Christian ruler. Allahu Akbar. Look at the foresight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at what kind of vision he had. He was willing to work with whoever was cooperating. And subhanallah, through the presence of Sahaba in Africa and through the presence of Sahaba in Ethiopia, it paved the way for Najashi to become a Muslim later on. Another point of reflection. How did he accept Islam? It is the Muslim delegation that showed the beauty of Islam to the Christian world. Allahu Akbar. And that is your responsibility, and that is my responsibility, to show the non-Muslim world the beauty of Islam. Wallah, brothers, they are thirsty for knowledge. They want to know about Allah. They want to know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are curious about Islam. They are thirsty. But the only information they have is the internet. The only understanding of Islam they have is through the media, which is the wrong version of Islam. It is our duty that wherever we are, we promote the values and the teachings of Islam. Ayyuhal Malik, kunna qawman ahla jahiliya, na'budu al-asnam, wa na'kulu al-maytata, wa na'ti al-fawahisha, wa nusi'u al-jiwar, ya'kulu al-qawiyu minna al-da'if. When the king called the Muslims in his court, he said, tell me, what does your prophet teach you about? So he paints a picture for them. He says, O king, we were in dark days. We used to prostrate in front of the idols. We used to eat from anything we found in the streets. We used to fight with one another on trivial matters. And we were cold-hearted towards each other. And the strong one amongst us would oppress the weak one amongst us. That's what's happening in the world today. That's modern day jahiliyyah. فَكُنَّا عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَتَّى بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا مِنَّا نَعْرِفُ نَسَبَهُ وَصِدْقَهُ وَأَمَانَتَهُ وَعَثَافَهُ. And then Allah sent His messenger. He told us to worship one Allah. He told us to speak the truth. He told us to respect women. He told us to be kind towards one another, especially our neighbors. He told us to be good human beings. When Najashi the king saw the beauty of Islam, he said, how can I surrender and how can I give such noble human beings back to the people of Makkah? It can't happen. And so they stayed for years in Abyssinia. And later on, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented the message of Islam, he accepted Islam. So Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, along with his wife, migrated to Abyssinia. In Abyssinia, she has a miscarriage. Brothers, a point of reflection. Being the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not mean that things would come to you on a golden platter. Being from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mean that we had privileges. His immediate household underwent sacrifices just like every other Sahabian Sahabia. His own daughter is made to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. When your daughter is leaving to a marital home, it's so difficult. But you know she's going to a place where people will look after her. You know that she'll be in a better place also, inshallah. And you comfort yourself. She'll come and visit me every weekend if she's close by. Or every now and then I'll see her. But here your own beloved daughter is made to leave her native land and going to Habasha, not knowing when she's going to return. The Prophet of Allah becomes restless because he receives no news from the people of Habasha. Finally, he receives news from a lady who saw them, and he said, "Now I'm at ease. Inna Uthman la awwalu man hajara ila Allah ba'da Lut." Uthman is the first man to migrate in the path of Allah with his wife after Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. Sahibahum Allah. Their companion is Allah. But brothers, I'm talking about the beloved daughter. The president of the country has privileges. He's surrounded by security. He's got bodyguards. Roads are closed when he's traveling. He's got his own personal jet. He gets free tickets. His own immediate household gets preferential treatment. Being from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mean that you are a king. It did not mean that the red carpet was rolled out for you. They also paid the price for iman. Allahu Akbar. And this is the nurturing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his own daughters that were prepared to give the sacrifice. Otherwise, they could have rebelled and said, "My father, I don't want to go from Makkah. I don't want to leave my parents. I don't want to leave my family." But what an obliging daughter. She gave the sacrifice for the sake of iman. Allahu Akbar. So she has a miscarriage in Abyssinia. Later on, Allah blesses them with another son. His name is Abdullah. But at the age of 4, he also passes away. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan lives side by side with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he participates on all battles. His life in Medina is very interesting, mashallah. Let's discuss his life in Madinatul Munawwara. When he comes to Madinatul Munawwara, the first battle that takes place is the Battle of Badr. The Sahaba prepare for the Battle of Badr. Sayyidina Uthman also comes out prepared to join the army. And the Prophet of Allah tells him, "O Uthman, you remain behind. Your wife is not doing well. She is very sick. You remain behind and nurse her." I want to draw your attention to a very important point here. On one side, it is the most important, the most decisive battle in the history of Islam, the Battle of Badr. It was such an important battle that the Prophet of Allah said, "Oh Allah, if my companions are defeated tomorrow, there will be no one left on the surface of earth, on the surface of the earth to worship you." That's how important the battle is. And every member is crucial and critical. And on one side, it's Uthman and his wife that's ill. Look at the balance in the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not say, "Neglect her and come and join the army." He said, "Oh Uthman, go and nurse your wife." Allahu Akbar. Brothers, Islam teaches us balance in all our affairs. Inna li rabbika alayka haqqan, wa inna li nafsika alayka haqqan, wa inna li zawjika alayka haqqan. What is the teaching of Islam? Islam says, yes, Allah has rights over you. Fulfill his rights. Yes, your body and your own being has a right over you. Fulfill your own rights also. Look after your body. Look after your health. Look after yourself. And your family also has a right over you. فَأَعْطِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا. Give everyone their due right. That is the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Uthman, you remain behind and look after your wife. Eventually, she also passes away. And here the Muslims return victorious from Badr. And on this side, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. And the Prophet of Allah goes to the gravesite. He makes dua for her and he said that his beloved daughter has passed on. They gave the sacrifice, brothers. That's why Allah says, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah has acknowledged the efforts of Sahaba in the Quran. He says, these Sahaba who were kicked out of their native lands and they were forced to leave whatever they were, whatever they owned, only for the pleasure of Allah. Allah says, these are true believers. These are true Muslims. Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They did not earn the title just like that, radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. It is after trials and tribulations and tests that they underwent that Allah gave them the high pedestal of radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allahu Akbar. They paid the price. They gave the sacrifice. So Sayyidina Uthman loses his partner Ruqayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha and he said, later on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, O Uthman, Allah has ordered me, listen to this, Allah has ordered me that I marry my second daughter to you also. Ummu Kulthum radiyallahu ta'ala. What confidence. What confidence the Prophet of Allah had in him as a son-in-law. As a father, he said, you know what, I'll think twice. I made a mistake once. I don't want to make the same mistake again. But the Prophet of Allah had so much of confidence in him that when his second wife also passed away, he said, if I had another daughter, I would have married her to you also, Uthman. And if I had 10 other daughters, I would marry one after the other to you, Uthman ibn Affan. That's how much of confidence he had in Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala as a son-in-law. And mind you, he was chosen by Allah. Allah has ordered me, Uthman, to marry my daughter to you. Allahu Akbar. What a noble man. What a noble man. Allahu Akbar. Would you give your daughter to your enemy? That's the question. Your most precious, precious darling. Would you ever give her to your enemy? How is it possible that the Prophet of Allah makes the same mistake twice? How is it possible that the Prophet of Allah gives his daughter over to his enemy? Is it possible? Allahu Akbar. And his stay in Medina was also, subhanallah, magnificent. His generosity knew no bounds. He purchased the well of Rumah. When the Muslims came from Makkatul Mukarrama into Madinatul Munawwara, they had no access to sweet water. And so the Prophet of Allah said, there's a need in the community. At the moment we have water crisis also, and we understand what it means to have water. So the Prophet of Allah said, مَنْ يَشْتَرِي بِئْرَ رُومَ. Who is going to purchase a well of Rumah for us? For him is a reward in Jannah. Sayyidina Uthman came forward and said, O Nabi of Allah, I will purchase the well of Rumah. And he gave 20,000 dirhams to purchase the well of Rumah for the Muslims. And he said, this is waqaf for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Free access to everyone. A point of reflection. La ba'sa bil ghina liman ittaqa Allah. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's nothing wrong with money so long as you fear Allah. The rich man needs to follow the example of Uthman ibn Affan, who was a wealthy man. He had a lot of money, was a businessman. But how did he utilize his money? He spent on the Muslims generously. Allahu Akbar. And so he purchased the well of Rumah for a reward in Jannah. The masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam becomes small for the people of Medina. Again, the Prophet of Allah says, who will extend the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a reward in Jannah? Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan says, O Nabi of Allah, I offer to do so. for a reward in Jannah. And he extends the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the occasion of Tabuk, the Muslims required financial assistance. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala who came and he gave 940 camels, 60 horses, and 1,000 gold coins, and he gave it to the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet of Allah became so happy and so pleased with his action. He said, "Ma darra Uthman ma fa'ala ba'd al-yawm." Uthman has earned his Jannah. Uthman has earned his Jannah. Whatever he does after this doesn't matter. Allahu Akbar. A rich man can assist the deen of Allah. In tansurullaha yansurkum. And I also say, we must make dua for the financial people. We must make dua for the businessmen of our community. For through their wealth, our madrasas, our masjids, our khanqas, our darul ulooms, and all our dini activities are running. You require financial assistance. And they are pushing and they are generating funds for us. May Allah bless them. May Allah reward them. And may Allah continue to take work from them. Really, we must acknowledge the businessmen of our community also. They play a very important, a very pivotal role for us. Allahu Akbar, what a man. What a man. His humility was such that at night when he would wake up for tahajjud salah, he would arrange for his own wudu. In those days, there were no taps with flowing water. You had to make arrangement for water. So when he would wake up, he would make arrangements for his own water. And so somebody suggested to him, "Oh Uthman ibn Affan, why don't you get somebody to help you at night also?" He said, "The night is for them to rest. I will do it myself." This is a rich man talking. There's no scarcity of funds. He can afford a servant. He can afford somebody to be at his side whenever he needed. But look at his humility, down to earth. Allahu Akbar. What qualities, Allahu Akbar. كان يكمل القرآن في ليلة. His blessed habit was, each night he would complete one Qur'an. Each night he would complete one Qur'an. This is the profound love he had for the Qur'an. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu ta'ala an. What a noble man. He was no ordinary person. At the time of Hudaybiyah, the Muslims were going to make Umrah and the Quraysh halted them and said, "No, no, you can't come into Makkah al-Mukarramah." The Prophet of Allah sent Uthman ibn Affan to negotiate and try and explain to the people of Makkah that we are coming here with the intention of making Tawaf and making Umrah. We've got no intentions of fighting. In that period, a false rumor spread that Uthman ibn Affan is killed. The Prophet of Allah comes to hear about this. He gathers all the 1400 Sahaba under a tree and he said, "We are going to pledge our allegiance to revenge and avenge the death of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu." And each Sahabi came and he placed his hand on the hand of Rasulullah that, "I will fight till the end to avenge the death of Sayyidina Uthman." And the Prophet of Allah said, "This is the hand of Uthman." And he said, "I also pledge my support." إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايَعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايَعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, those who pledge their support and place their hands, they were actually pledging their support to me. Imagine the Prophet of Allah putting his hand and saying, "We will avenge the death of Uthman ibn Affan." This tells you of his status and his honor. Allahu Akbar. At that time, the Prophet of Allah said to the Sahaba, "Antum khayru ahli al-ard." You are the best of people in the world, O Sahaba. You are the best of people. Why would anyone want to attack the integrity of Sahaba? Why? Because without the Sahaba, there's no Islam. Simple as that. You and I would not know of the day of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I would not know of the night of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. you and I would not know of the mannerism and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he worshipped Allah, how he interacted with people, what kind of person was he. We would not know had there been no Sahaba. Simple as that. Remove the Sahaba and there's no Islam. Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave the Arabian Peninsula in his life. He passed away in the Arabian Peninsula. Who took his message forward? It was the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. And so the people who attacked the integrity of Sahaba know very well that this is the foundation of Islam. And if you destabilize the foundation, if you do away with the foundation of Islam, there is no Muslims. And so they attack the integrity of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Beware, beware, beware of anyone who maligns the character of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, for they have ulterior motives. They are there for your iman. They understand that at the core of your iman is Sahaba. They know that Sahaba is the benchmark for iman. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. Allah says, these are true believers. And so they become the base of iman. And they know that Sahaba are the only people in the world where as an entire unit, where every person from the group of Sahaba has the ability to guide you to Jannah. They know Sahaba are the only people. Normally when you have an organization or a group or following, you say, this is my top brass. The others, I can't say much, but I can express my confidence in these few people. But Sahaba, every single Sahabi will take you to Jannah. And so they understand that Sahaba are at the core of iman. So brothers, that is Hudaybiyah. I explained to you the incident of Tabuk also. The Prophet of Allah passes away. Sayyidina Uthman is now in the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. During the time of Abu Bakr, he also served the Khalifa diligently. There was a drought and there was no food supply in Madinatul Munawwara. And Uthman ibn Affan received 100 camels from Syria laden with goods and food supply. So the businessmen got together and they came to the house of Sayyidina Uthman and they said, oh Uthman, sell your goods to us and we will distribute it to the people of Medina. We are going through difficulty. For every 10, we'll give you 12. He said, no man, the offer is not so tempting. They said, okay, for every 10, we'll give you 15. He said, no man, that's still not tempting. So the people said, oh Uthman, we are the businessmen. We are the man with the financial backing. We are offering you 15 for 10. And you're saying you'll get a better offer. Who's going to offer you? We are the people here. He said, I found somebody even better. For everyone, he'll give me 10. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, take everything and give it to the people of Medina free. For everyone, he'll give me 10. Man ja'a bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha. Allahu Akbar. This was during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then comes the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then comes his Khilafah. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is about to pass away. And he tells the people, I'm choosing 6 people amongst you. And I'm giving you people 3 days. By the end of the 3rd day, you must have a leader. And once you've selected a leader, if anybody disagrees with you, chop his neck off. He also said to them, from amongst these 6 people, nobody is to lead the salah. Because it must not give the wrong impression that he's the leader. So the 6 people were Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Zubayr ibn al-Awam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, and one more person, Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. These were the 6 people. He said, Abdullah ibn Umar, my son, cannot become the next Khalifa. He's got no right to become the next Khalifa. Yes, he can be part of the process. He can sit there and advise. But he cannot become the next Khalifa. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab passes away. These six people gather in the house. And they say, we are going to choose the next Khalifa. So the process was as follows. They said, let three people amongst us choose somebody else. So Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala said, I choose and I nominate Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu ta'ala said, I choose Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas says, I choose Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala. So three are out and three are left. Then the suggestion was made that who is prepared to step out on his own from the race of Khilafah? After a moment of silence, Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf said, I am going to pull out on my own. I don't want to become the next Khalifa. But you give me the responsibility of choosing the next Khalifa. They said, no problem. So he consulted the people of Medina. He spoke to the women folk. He spoke to the elderly. He spoke to the young. He spoke to the commanders of the army. He spoke to the travelers and the visitors coming in and out of Medina. He consulted with everyone. And it went into the night. It was the third day. Salatul Fajr is performed by Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala an. After the salah is finished, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu announces, O people, the next Khalifa of the Muslims is Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. And the Sahaba come together collectively and they pledge their support. And the forerunner, the person in front was who? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an. These were sincere people. Usually in a race for presidency or for leadership, when you lose, you either open your own party or you become the opposition. But here, Sahaba was sincere. Uthman ibn Affan is selected as the Khalifa. Ali ibn Abi Talib gave his undivided attention and he gave his support to Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala. There is an effort in the world to discredit the Khilafah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar ibn al-Khattab and Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the effort is to say that the right Khalifa after the Prophet of Allah was Ali ibn Abi Talib. And they snatched the Khilafah from him. Na'udhu billah min thalik. Sahaba was sincere. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib served diligently under Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib served diligently under Umar ibn al-Khattab. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib served diligently under Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. He named his children after Abu Bakr and Uthman and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why would a man like this hate the Sahaba? His own daughter, Ummu Kulthum, was married to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Would you ever give your daughter to the enemy? So there is an effort in the Ummah. There is an effort in the community for people to deter us from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and the correct version of history. And so it's very important to follow the authentic version, not from Google and not from people who are passerbys who want us to attack the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. May Allah protect us all. Now brothers, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala became the Khalifa. He ruled for 12 years. The first 6 years were very nice, very easygoing, a lot of prosperity, and Muslims made a lot of achievements. Some of the achievements, let me speak about it. Number one, he brought the Ummah on one standard copy of the Quran, which I will speak about later on, inshallah. Number two, during his Khilafah, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala became the first Muslim to build a navy ship and to attack the Romans, because they were on the coastal area and the Romans were continuously attacking the Muslims and there was a constant threat. So Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to fortify the Muslim empire and to make it safe. During the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he requested permission, and Umar ibn al-Khattab did not allow him to build the ship. During the time of Uthman ibn Affan, he requested again, and Sayyidina Uthman gave him the permission. And so he became the first person. This achievement and this success is attributed to Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, because he gave the blessings. And there's great rewards mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to those people who make jihad on this ship. Another achievement of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that he built a lot of infrastructure for the Muslim ummah. He was the one who introduced the second adhan at the time of Jumu'ah. He was the one who stipulated a salary for the muadhin from the Baytul Mal. Allahu Akbar. Very progressive. So there was a lot of achievements. In the first 6 years, things were very smooth. The second 6 years became very trying, very difficult, very challenging for him and for the Muslim Ummah at large. And that's where I want to take the discussion and hopefully end off with a few allegations and wrap up, inshallah. So there was a man by the name of Abdullah bin Sabah, and you need to follow this very closely. Abdullah bin Sabah was from Yemen. He was a Jewish scholar, well versed with the Torah and the Injil, and he knew Arabic very fluently, but he had deep hatred for Islam and the Muslims. And he said the best way to weaken Islam is to work from inside. And so he became a Muslim from the outside. He came to Madinatul Munawwara and he accepted Islam. And he portrayed himself as a very humble individual, as a very pious person who made a lot of ibadah. And a lot of people were attracted to him. And he started introducing his new ideas. And the propaganda machine started. So he said to the people, you know what? It's very strange. People believe that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will return to the world. But how come they don't believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam will come back? It's strange. And he started telling people, you know, every Nabi had an advisor and an ambassador and a successor. The successor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Ali ibn Abi Talib, his son-in-law. Like Harun alayhi salatu wasalam was a successor to Musa, Ali radiallahu ta'ala needs to be the next successor. That makes sense. And people said, yeah, you know what, you got a point. And he started introducing new ideologies. And he gave it a very beautiful banner. A very beautiful sugar-coated name. The love for Ahlul Bayt. The love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anybody would buy into it, like, what a noble effort. He said, yes, you must love the Ahlul Bayt. And so he started saying, you know what, we need to conscientize the people with regards to the love of the Ahlul Bayt, and we must make people aware that Ali radiallahu ta'ala was supposed to be the first Khalifa of Islam. They snatched his life. When the Muslims got to know about his activities in Medina, they expelled him. And he went to other parts of the Muslim world, Basra, Kufa, Damascus, and finally he settled in Egypt. And here he established a very strong following. And he managed to get murids and followers in all the other parts of the Muslim empire. Medina, Kufa, Basra, and all other places. Now the propaganda starts. You know what they say about propaganda? When you start, you're the only person talking and believing in it. Slowly, few people join. And slowly and gradually, it becomes so widespread that white lie becomes the accepted truth of the day. And so he started telling people, you know what? The rulers of Uthman ibn Affan are corrupt. The Khalifa is unfit. He cannot rule. And there's widespread corruption in the Muslim Ummah. And he started telling people that Uthman ibn Affan is very easygoing. He favors his family. He appoints people from his own household. And he and he downplays the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they started creating instability in the Muslim ummah. Remember, Uthman ibn Affan was a very easygoing person. So Abdullah bin Sabah could not operate at the time of Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab because they were very stern. Uthman ibn Affan had a different temperament, and he realized that this is the time to strike. The strongest of enemies are those who work from inside, because you don't know them. You don't know them. The outside enemy you know very well. And so he started his propaganda. What was Sayyidina Uthman's approach to this whole turmoil? There were several things he did. First of all, he sent out people to investigate and to find out what's happened in the Muslim Ummah. Is this a reality? Is there corruption? Secondly, wherever he found that there was misdoings or if there was some misconduct, he would replace the governor. Thirdly, he made a general proclamation. He said, I am going for Hajj, and I announce that if anybody has any grievance, let him come to me at the time of Hajj, and I will address it. And I will make sure that he receives justice. The time of Hajj arrives. He makes the announcement, and nobody comes forward. And the people realize it's a propaganda. But these people, they're peddling the propaganda machine. They're making you believe that this is what's happening in the Muslim Ummah. Anyways, Sahaba, they advise Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala said to him that, O Amirul Mu'mineen, leave Medina and come to us in Syria. We will look after you and we'll protect your life. He said, I don't want to leave the blessed city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't want to leave. So Amir Muawiyah said to him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, allow me to send you protection. I will send you men who will look after you and preserve you. He said, I don't want people to inconvenience the people of Medina. I don't want your protection. Not for my sake. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala who came and he said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, give me permission. I've got 500 men who are ready for my orders. With one command, they will attack and they will protect your life and your belongings. He said, O Ali, as a Khalifa and as the authority I enjoy over you, I beg you, please, do not do so. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib wore the imama and the turban of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came with the unsheathed sword, and he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, allow me, give me permission. Uthman ibn Affan said, I don't want blood to spread in this ummah and to be spilled because of my sake. Now the question rises here, brothers. Why is Uthman ibn Affan stopping the Sahaba from defending him? Number one, because he gave his word to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah had already prophesied and told him, "Yuqtalu hadha madluman," that on that day, this man will be killed and he will be on the truth. So he told the Prophet of Allah, I will persevere, I will be patient on that day. So he gave his word to the Prophet of Allah, and so he could not go against his word. Number one. Number two, he says, I don't want to become the first Khalifa in Islam to spill the blood of the Muslims because of his sake. Number three, he says, I don't want the people to become a shield for me. I will rather become a shield for them and give my life. When the Sahaba had to pull their hands off because the Khalifa is not budging, he doesn't want to give them permission. In the end, the seniors said, okay, we can't go against the Khalifa, but send our children to defend Uthman ibn Affan. And so, these rebels, they are camped outside of Medina. Sayyidina Uthman sent senior Sahaba to engage them, to have dialogue with them, to speak to them, to address the allegations. So there were several allegations that were made. Allow me to take a few of those allegations. The first one was, they said to him, why do you read 4 rakats salah when you go for Hajj when you're supposed to be reading 2 rakats? The second one is, why did you burn the Qur'ans? The third one was, why have you reserved land for yourself in Medina, for your animals? The fourth one was, why do you appoint junior sahabas over senior Sahaba. These were some of the allegations they made. He came out and he clarified it himself. People say, I read 4 rakat salah in Mina. Let me tell you, ta'ahaltu fi Makkah. I am married in Makkah and I'm deciding to stay here. That is why I'm no longer a traveler. I regard myself as a resident of Makkah, and so I will read 4 rakats. He gave a satisfactory answer. And the people were happy. He said, in terms of the Quran, let me explain to you why the Quran, the other copies of the Quran were burnt. And allow me to explain the incident also. During the time of Uthman ibn Affan, Islam spread very far and wide. And Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was making jihad in Azerbaijan and Armenia. And he noticed that the people were reading Quran differently. The people of Kufa were reading differently. The people of Basra were reading differently. The people of Sham were reading differently. And when they were reading and when they heard each other's qira'ah, they said, you are kafir. And the other man said, no, you are kafir. So Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman came to the Prophet, to the Khalifa, and he said, أَدْرِكِ الْأُمَّ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْتَلِفُوا اخْتِلَافَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I was in jihad and this is what happened. I need to tell you, you need to bring the Ummah on one copy, one standard copy. Because the Quran, although it was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was also room and flexibility for people to read differently. But people were not educated and well-versed in this regard. And so they started calling each other kafir. So Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan then prepared one standard copy. He requested Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha to give that copy. And he told Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, now you are in charge, prepare one standard copy that can accommodate for the different ways and different modes of reading the Quran. You must have heard, وَالْدُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهُمْ. So there were different ways of reading, and this new copy accommodated for that. When this copy was prepared, Sayyidina Uthman gathered the other copies that were present and he burned them all. He said, from now on, this is the standard copy in the Ummah. And so he saved the Ummah from difference of opinion. And today, the Ummah still has one standard copy. He is known as Jami'ul Quran. So he gave them the answer why he did what he did. Then they said to him, you use the land in Medina for your sake and for your animals. He said, no. I have reserved this land for the pastures of those zakat animals of the state. The state has a lot of animals. Where are they going to graze? And so this is part of the state property. Nobody can claim right to it. The fourth thing they said, why do you appoint junior Sahaba over senior Sahaba? So he said to them, but why is there an objection? The people before me did so also. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Usama radiallahu ta'ala an as the leader who was a youngster in his early teens, as the leader of the army over senior Sahaba. And the people raised the same objection at that time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was firm. So if the Prophet of Allah did it, Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab did it, why is there an objection with me? So he satisfied the people. He engaged them. He engaged them in dialogue. Anyways, these people were leaving now Medina and they were returning back to Egypt because that's where the whole base and the operation was taking place from there. Then they come back into Medina. Revenge, revenge, revenge. The Sahaba confused. What do you mean revenge? They said, we were returning to Egypt and on the way we met a horseman and we stopped him and we found a letter with him. We intercepted the messenger and that letter reads that when this is addressed to the governor, when these people arrive in Egypt, kill them all, execute them. Signed by Uthman ibn Affan. Sayyidina Uthman says, I take an oath in the name of Allah. I did not write such a letter. But these people were adamant that you wrote it. And they said, we want to now dethrone you. We want to remove you from the seat of Khilafah altogether. They surround the house. They cut off supply. No food allowed to his house. Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha wanted to go with some food. They barred her also. No food allowed, no water allowed. And they surrounded his house for several days. He even came out one day to address the people. Why are you after my life? When I am the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I purchased the well of Rumah for the Muslims. I aided the expedition of Tabuk. I extended the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have never committed adultery, nor ever taken anybody's life without a valid reason. Why are you after my life? Anyways, the siege gets stronger. Eventually, they scale the wall and they enter the house. And that day, he knew he was going to pass away. He told the people around him. He saw a dream. In his dream, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And the Prophet of Allah said, O Uthman, make iftar with us today. He was fasting. What a noble death. He was fasting. He was reading Quran and he reached the verse, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمَ اللَّهُ. Allah is sufficient for you. And they killed him. They took his life. Until today, the Quran is preserved where the blood stains are found in the manuscript. In the effort to protect him, his beloved wife, Naila radiallahu ta'ala, also lost a finger. And the Khalifa of the Muslim was killed mercilessly. The Sahaba gave ghusl, read Salatul Janaza, and buried him. And Sahaba were deep in sorrow and grief that we have lost such a noble soul. Such a noble soul. But brothers, a point of reflection, and I want to end off with these broad messages here. This man lost his life pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of fasting whilst reciting Quran. Allahu Akbar. What a blessed way to leave this world. May Allah grant us all noble deaths. Allah never take us in a position where He's not happy with us. Allah always grant us death at a time when He is happy and is pleased with us. And grant us noble death where Allah takes us in a happy occasion. Brothers, we should make dua for this, that Allah always take us in a good condition. Sayyidina Uthman's life, Allahu Akbar. His status is so great. He used to write wahi for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was no ordinary person. We need to live the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They are the benchmark for iman. They are the benchmark of taqwa. Whichever good quality Allah has spoken about in the Quran, Sahaba are the benchmark for it. Wherever Allah has praised believers in the Quran, Sahaba are the first group of people for whom the verse applies. If Allah is saying, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, then the verse applies to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. May we defend the integrity of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. May we love the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. May we show regard and honor to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, whoever vilifies and maligns the character of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, stand up immediately. Do not even be part of such gatherings. And defend the honor of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib used to say, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الصَّالِحُونَ فَحَيْهَلَا بِعُمَرَ. When you talk about the pious, start with Umar ibn Khattab. فَإِنَّ السَّكِينَةَ تَنْتِقُ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرَ. For we had no doubts that wisdom used to be on the tongue of Umar ibn Khattab. The love the Sahaba had amongst each other is phenomenal. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, at the death of Umar ibn Khattab, and I'll end off very shortly, he taps the shoulder of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Umar ibn Khattab is on the floor just before he's buried. And people are coming there, paying their condolences and speaking highly of Umar ibn Khattab. Sayyidina Ali looks at Umar ibn Khattab and he said, may Allah have mercy on you. There's none other person in the world with whose actions I would be happy to meet Allah with except you, Umar ibn Khattab. What praises! There is none other than you, O Umar ibn al-Khattab, with whose actions I would want to meet Allah with, other than you, O Umar ibn al-Khattab. What lavish praises Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would shower upon the Sahaba. They loved each other. They had respect for one another. They had high regard for one another. It's an insult and an indictment to the Prophet of Allah to suggest that the Sahaba became murtad, na'udhu billah, and left the fold of Islam after he passed away. You mean he did not manage to convert the Sahaba around him? It's an indictment. It is to suggest that his mission was a failure. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, today we are sitting here. In one part of the world, we are Muslims and reciters of the Kalima, La ilaha illallah. It is because of the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. May we give our lives for the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. They gave the sacrifice for Allah without even a second doubt. And I'll end off with the verse of the Quran. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله Ala inna hizballahi humul muflihun. What lavish praises by Allah. Allah says, you will never find a group like Sahaba who sacrifice their lives, their belongings, their families, and everything for the sake of Allah. Allah says, I can tell you safely that these people will give preference to me even over their fathers, even over their sons, even over their brothers, even over their family members. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. We have deeply rooted the seeds of Iman in their hearts. Allah is testifying with regards to the Iman. And Allah said, for them is Jannah. For them is Jannah, beneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will always be in Jannah. And Allah says, I am pleased with them. I am pleased with them, radiyallahu anhum. وَرَضُوا عَنْ, and they are pleased with me. أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, this is my group. This is my group. أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, listen, these are the successful ones. Till the day of Qiyamah, we will sing the praises of Sahaba in the Qur'an, because the Qur'an will remain till the day of Qiyamah. Brothers, what a day it will be to be in the company of Abu Bakr, in the company of Umar ibn al-Khattab, in the company of Uthman ibn Affan and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the rest of the Sahaba, along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless us all. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.